It's good to have the opportunity to preach this morning here at home, here in church, after actually over the past couple of weeks, months I should say, for whatever reason, only known to the Lord, he's had me preaching in other churches around southern Vermont, churches that are going through some form of transition in terms of their leadership and whatnot. And so I've had to become facile at preparing for sermons fairly regularly over the past couple of months, which I've never really had to do in the past, and it made me appreciate very much the gift that our pastor has in preparing such wonderful sermons for us regularly and ministering to us. It's also been, I wish Ruth were here this morning, because she's been very helpful, and her advice is pretty consistent. Don't try to say a lot and keep it short. And I felt that as I was driving down here alone, I should have bought a kitchen timer to place under the pulpit, which she threatened me with a couple of times. The scripture text for the sermon this morning comes from Romans chapter 15, verses 30 and 32. I am reading from the King James Version, which I think is most appropriate for this particular text. Now, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them who do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Praise your holy name, Father God. Lord, I ask that you use your stumbling and undisciplined and often reluctant servant to preach, to speak out that which you would have for us as a body this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Because the Apostle Paul's ministry demanded so much of him, and because there was so much resistance to stop him, he knew he needed prayer, support, all the prayer support he could get. And that's why he wrote to the Romans, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed." By studying this specific prayer request of the Apostle Paul, we can gain some insight into how we need to be praying for our pastor. I'm using the bully pulpit this morning while pastor and his family are away to speak about this with you. And in preparing, I thought what I'm really doing is delivering a talking with you. Although it may sound a little preachy, but that's okay, I'm supposed to be preaching. So if my talking turns into some preaching, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. We need to be praying for our pastor and for all of those who are in spiritual authority over our lives. So let's take a few minutes together to seriously look at these verses today to see what we can learn about praying for our pastor and our spiritual leaders. When someone asks you to pray, "Oh, pray for me," you, like me, may sometimes say, "I will." And then when I'm reminded of that request, I pray in a sometimes in an uncomfortably general way for that person and find myself dissatisfied in my prayer. I don't know if you're like me in that regard. I imagine at least a few of you are. And at those times, when I take the time, I seek out the Lord for the specifics in praying for that person. And a lot of times I find them right here. It's our manual, our instruction manual, isn't it? So let's take a look at these two rather simple verses that we could easily gloss over because they seem to be kind of a closing, right? First, Paul makes the following request, that ye strive together with me in your prayers. Taking a look at strive together, this is another way in which Ruth has been particularly helpful to me. She pulls out her Greek lexicon and we take a hard look at some of these words. Strive together. A compound word, as much of the Greek contains compound words. Excuse me for butchering it, but you'll get the idea, at least in terms of the meaning. The compound word being son and agonizo. Son and agonizo. The word son simply means together and carries the meaning of doing something, engaging with someone, being connected with someone. And the word agonizo means to agonize. Paul wasn't simply saying, by the way, would you pray for me? This is a difficult journey. In the Greek, agonizo means intense agony, a violent struggle, anguish, contending with an enemy, or fighting in a contest. Certainly, it brings more meaning to that phrase, spiritual warfare, doesn't it? There's no passivity there. So this tells us that Paul was in a great spiritual battle at the time he wrote the prayer, a request. In fact, the fight was so intense that he felt the need for others to join him, and he beseeched. By the way, that's another reason for picking the King James this morning. He beseeched. Beseeched. He didn't just ask. He begged. He pleaded. And in one version it says, he pleaded to the point of anxiety. Coveting their prayers. He didn't want to face the fight alone. Who among us want to face our struggles alone? Right? That's why I particularly appreciated Elder Tom's leading in our prayer. We have to get honest and more aggressive and specific in our prayers for ourselves and each other, don't we? This is not the day for I don't know when there ever was a day for passive prayer, but it's certainly not these times, is it? And it's certainly not these times for this church and for our leadership, our pastor. Amen? In researching a little bit for this talk, I went to, as sometimes I do, I went to Barna Research, and a nice little organization I found called the Soul Shepherding Institute, which ministers to pastors and families in a very intimate way. And I thought I'd just pass along to you some of what they found in their ministry over the years. They found that, well, this is from Barna, a nationwide survey, interview, and questionnaire of pastors and their families. And they find that 75% of the pastors, of the servants and the leaders of this of our church in this day and age in America, 75% are highly, describe themselves as highly stressed. 40% indicate a serious conflict with a parishioner at least once a month. 100% of evangelical pastors had a close colleague leave the ministry because of burnout, church conflict, or some form of moral failure. And over the years, I've had the opportunity to be drawn into, called upon to be of some help with churches within the four C's in the Northeast that were really struggling with conflict, and seeing the burdens of the pastors of these churches. It's very hard, very hard. 35% of the pastors of our evangelical churches say they constantly struggle with depression. And 70% say they are somewhat lonely, that they do not have someone they consider a close friend. What a shame. May it not be true here among us. Amen. We've got to get real about these things. The life of the church, and Tom referred this morning to the identity of our church, depends upon these kinds of things, that we pull together and commit to pray for our pastor and for each other. Our pastor, as most pastors are, I haven't heard him request personal prayer very often, except in a somewhat casual and general manner. But those of us who know him and know the family know that behind that and underneath that is a deep need. So as we pray for our pastor, let's remember that he really does need our support. And just as Jesus requested Peter and James and John to pray with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, our pastor needs our prayer. He's a praying man, and I know he prays alone, but wouldn't it be of such help for him to know that we really are standing in faith and in the Spirit with him in an intimate and personal way? The Apostle Paul was begging for this, begging for it, right? And our pastor needs it as well. So that's my first point, that we strive together with our pastor and his family in prayer. Second point, second of six, I'm reminding myself so that moving along here. Paul specifically asked them to pray that I may be delivered from them that do not believe. The word delivered is ruomai, and it means to be rescued, to be snatched out of, to be dragged out of danger. Isn't that interesting word and language, a word picture there? It's not just a prayer that things may go well with me, is it? Now, it may sound strange that Paul would request others to pray that he would be delivered from those who didn't believe. But we know within the context of these verses that he had struggled mightily with unbelievers who had resisted him, as well as so-called brethren who gave him constant troubles. At times when he, I think, was somewhat frustrated, he referred to those particular brethren in Judea as dogs and wolves in sheep's clothing, didn't he? But isn't it simply a fact that when the devil attacks, his weapons are people, right? His weapons are people. When he wants to stop the advancement of the gospel, he often tries to resist a local church or a pastor by stirring up someone in the community to be against the pastor. Sometimes the enemy uses people inside the local church to create problems that cause division and disaster. So when we pray for our pastor, let's remember to pray that he will be snatched out of, dragged out of any traps or snares set for him by people with the wrong motives. In one church, this comes to mind here, and I hear myself preaching this experience I had a couple of years ago. In fact, Pastor Tom came with me a few times to this, or at least a couple of times to this church, that was really struggling mightily with a pastor who had been ministering there for 25 years, like our pastor has. And the split between the pastor and the leadership of the church, a fairly large church, was really very intense. It was so intense that even before being able to approach any kind of mediation or peacemaking session, really had to get together with the elders and the deacons of the church. And the first question I had for the deacons and elders was, do you pray for your pastor? Do you pray for your pastor? And if you do, how do you pray for your pastor? And the first elder responded by saying, I pray for him regularly. I say, how do you pray for him? And he said, I pray that he would finally listen to me. Give me that. And we laugh. I almost stood up and choked him. But isn't that indicative of a self-centeredness that winds it, that Satan uses in our lives, right? This man was a good man. I don't mean to. But unwittingly being used like that. And, you know, there's this saying in churches and other organizations, as above, so below. Right? How do you think that, using Tom Ross's phrase, how do you think that sugars up? Sugars off below when you have leadership with that kind of attitude toward prayer and the pastor. Third, Paul requested prayer that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. The word service is the Greek word diakonia, which is the Greek word for ministry. The word accepted, this is a little more difficult for me. I took 5 years of speech therapy, by the way, so you got to appreciate the struggle I have. Eprodektos, which means to be pleasing and acceptable and well-received. Well, this is an expected prayer request from a preacher. Paul has sought God through prayer and listened to hear what the Lord is saying to his spirit because he wants to do well. He wants to please God. He wants to please others and be accepted in his ministry. He wants to do well in his ministry. And Paul desires every word to be spoken correctly and accurately in a way that pleases God. Furthermore, he wants people to believe in the sincerity of his motives and not to question whether or not his ulterior motives for speaking to them about the Lord, not to question any hidden agenda or ulterior motives. Paul, not to digress too much, but we see in Scripture a number of times, three I found, where Paul defended his motives, right? It was very important for him that he present himself, he be seen as someone who has integrity. Do we see our pastor as a man of integrity? We certainly do. I do, don't you? Yeah. Let's pray that his integrity would not be a target of Satan in any way, or that he would use any of us or anyone in the community to attack his integrity. It's really nice not to have him here because I feel like I can speak freely with you about these things, right? I know it would be very embarrassing for him, probably. Fourth, Paul requested that the believers in Rome pray that I may come unto you with joy. And the word joy here is the Greek word chara, meaning gladness and rejoicing. It simply means Paul wanted to have joy in his ministry. He had faced many hardships that gave him opportunities to lose his joy, such as broken friendships, and dashed expectations, and all kinds of political turmoil, church divisions, so on and so forth. Not different than what we see today, right? Paul's request was very simple. Please pray that I will have and will keep my joy in the middle of everything I have to deal with in my ministry. Just think of the things that happen in your own life that tempt you to lose your joy. I don't have to go very far myself in that regard, that's for sure. So what about our pastor? Think of all the people he counsels, all the conversations he has that he hopes bear fruit, right? The marriages he tries to help, those who have wandered. I know personally the time he spends with people who have wandered from this body. He commits himself to spend time with them to this day. That goes unseen often. And I know the prayer burden that he has for them. The sermons he has to prepare and the church that he has to oversee. Then on top of all that, think of the disappointment our pastor is tempted to feel again when people he has loved, made an effort to help in the past, minister to, pray for, leave. In those years that I spent doing some mediation work in the church through the four C's, That was a theme that was constant with the pastors I talked to, the burdens, the personal burdens they had for those that have left, even sometimes who left with real acrimony. I guarantee you there are many opportunities for our pastor to lose his joy. So we should take Paul's request to heart and apply it to Pastor Tom and his family. Let's pray that Pastor Tom will hold on to his joy in spite of everything he has to deal with in his ministry. As we meet together as elders with Tom, I'm so glad that there's, even with so many of the struggles we've gone through, I don't think we've ever gotten together where there hasn't been a time where I don't hear that laugh. And I hope that continues until his final day, that he does not lose the capacity to laugh, or that any of us should, right? So fifth, Paul prayed that I may come to you with joy by the will of God. And the will there is the Greek word thelema, meaning the design, the purpose, the plan or construct. And Paul wanted to be right in the middle of God's purpose, design, construct, plan for his life. So I know our pastor is looking at a time in his life like we all are, and when we reach the age we reach, by God's grace, that he is seeking God's will. He cannot separate God's will for his life with God's will for this church. I know that. We know that. So let's pray for him in that regard as he makes those kinds of decisions that we all face as we begin to age a bit here. I know he needs it. Paul wanted to be right in the middle of God's will for his life, and I know our pastor does too. So just as we pray that we wouldn't make any mistakes, well, make mistakes all the time, but pray that we wouldn't make a lot of them, and be right where God wants us to be, Paul prayed that very same prayer. When I read this, you know, Paul took on another dimension, a very human dimension for me when I said, you know, and I couldn't help but think of our pastor, you know, in just these two verses that Paul wrote. And so just as we pray to make no mistakes, Paul prays the very same. He wanted the saints to pray that he wouldn't make any mistakes and that he always might be in the perfect plan of God. So when we pray for our pastor, let's pray that he will have wisdom to know what he is supposed to do at this point in his ministry and in the various situations and struggles he faces. Questions, I know, come at him all day long, and he needs our prayer support to make the right decisions and wisdom. If I do hear our pastor be specific about prayer needs, it's for wisdom. He does pray for wisdom in various situations. And let's pray for our pastor that he will stay sensitive to the Spirit and he wouldn't feel that he's made any costly mistakes and follow God's will for himself, his family, and our church. Amen. And finally, six, Paul requested a prayer that he might be refreshed. Refreshed, now I'm not going to even come close to pronouncing the Greek word for it's like a triple compound word in the Greek, but refreshed here essentially means to be together with, to experience something with, some connected to someone else, and to calm, to soothe, to refresh, to relax. Let's pray for our pastor. Right. When these words are put together in the Greek word, it means to be refreshed in concert with someone else. In concert with someone else. So everyone, we all need to be refreshed from time to time. Certainly including our pastor and his wife and Charlene. And I do pray that couple of days away or time refreshing for them, that they would feel very connected to each other and be refreshed. So as we pray for our pastor and his family, and for our ministries and our missionaries that we support, let's use this prayer request of the Apostle Paul to guide us when we wonder what to pray for. It was included in the New Testament for a reason, wasn't it? I've never met a leader who didn't need people to stand behind him or her, right? We need to stand behind and uplift our pastor and his family. It's a reciprocal relationship. I think unconsciously at times I'm guilty. I'm somewhat passive. I want to receive from my pastor, forgetting that it's a reciprocal relationship between us. Leaders and followers are engaged together. So if you wonder what to pray, I'm suggesting for our pastor, I'm suggesting that you may. There are other places you may want to go to, but I think certainly Romans 15, verses 30 through 32 are a good place to go. And just quickly to review, we should strive together in prayer and pray that our pastor would be delivered from anyone with wrong motives, charlatans, wolves in sheep's clothing, or that his ministry would be acceptable and well received both here among us and in the community. That he would have a measure of joy in spite of everything he needs to deal with in his ministry, that he would have wisdom to know what he's supposed to do in some very difficult situations, and that he would have a time of refreshment with others, and especially his family. Simple, right? Yeah. So I'm going to ask that you join me, if you would, in just a simple prayer for our pastor and his family as they're traveling today. Praise your holy name, Father God. Lord, we are a blessed people. We truly are blessed. Help us not to take our pastor or his family for granted, Lord, or to be casual in our prayers for him and Charlene and the family. Lord, we want to be a sincere prayer partner and support him spiritually, to really pray for him. I ask you, Father God, to deliver him from people who, for whatever reason, have wrong motives. I pray that his ministry will be well received, both here among us and in this community, in whatever capacity or sphere of influence you've given him, that he would have joy in his ministry here. I know he has great affection for us in this church. May that affection be just amplified by joy in his service here. Lord, we pray that he would make the right decisions, that you would grant him wisdom, and that he would stay in your will as he faces decisions in his own life, as we all do, and that he will always feel strong and refreshed in his spirit and in his soul and body, Lord God. Please bless our pastor and Charlene in their service to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.